Council meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for Wednesday, July 22nd. We'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, agenda. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the agenda?
We'd like to add to Section 7, Potential Immediate Action Contract for Stormwater Cleaning.
I also like to ask for executive session with legal counsel only for probably about 10 minutes.
Can I ask?
And on what?
Oh, personal matters, excuse me.
Why don't we make it at 15? Because
okay.
Sometimes, and if
you're going to drag it out, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a 2-hour deal. So, but if we do run over, then we can just go outside and say we're going to extend it.
Okay.
Period, and you can come back in, but that gives you a little bit of buffer.
All right.
Okay. Any other corrections or additions? Yeah, move we approve the corrected agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the consent agenda. We've all looked at the consent agenda. Do I have a motion?
I make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, public comments not related to the agenda. That would be you guys. Rick?
I didn't realize we were so affected. Okay, my name's Rick Yonke. And a group of us, is it being passed around? Yeah, there's a perspective. A group of us have come together and we're working toward an appropriately sized dog park for this area, Port Townsend area, East Jefferson County area. I'm not going to go through the points that I put on the prospectus here. It's pretty self-explanatory. Basically, we want an appropriately sized, fenced off-leash dog area for large and small dogs somewhere in this region. Of course, many of you probably have dogs. There's all kinds of people whom this would benefit. But I'd also like to point out that in this day and age, having a dog park in the region makes it a desirable destination for many visitors. Many people travel in their RVs with dogs. It's a very common question at the hotels, where can I exercise my dog, etc. So having a good place locally to do that, I think, is also a help to the economy of the area. The strategy is pretty simple. We're following along, tried and true, what they've done on Whidbey Island. Whidbey Island, for example, has 5 dog parks, just for comparison. 3 in the county and 2 in the incorporated areas. The 3 in the county are run by volunteers. A nonprofit was set up that runs it. Volunteers maintain it. And the lands were provided by a public entity. And so that's pretty much our strategy. We're in the process of establishing a nonprofit and organizing volunteers, and we're making pitches to the local public entities to try and find appropriate lands. What we've done so far is, actually I should pass these out too. I realized when we put this prospectus together, we didn't have the website and contact information. But we have a website, we have a Facebook page, we have a petition that's at all events and various places. I just entered 250 names from those petitions into an Excel spreadsheet, so with contact info, so we could have brought more people here tonight, but that would have probably been too exciting. So it's just us, and but there seems to be a lot of interest in this, of course, and now we're making contact with the public entities to see what sort of interest we have, where we can make a partnership. And we had actually talked to Steve earlier, and Jim had some ideas, but it was thought best that we start here so that everyone is aware of this effort. And
you folks looked at any particular sites or have any interest in any particular sites?
Well, we've been looking at all kinds of sites, but that's maybe getting a little ahead of the game until you guys say this is a reasonable thing to be doing. But the answer is yes. We've been poking around city sites, county sites, and port sites. And I don't know, Jim, do you want to, if it's appropriate, I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, that's fine.
But
we actually had a great talk. Larry and I talked about it. Both of us at the same time thought we had some land at the airport that is a perfect place. It's where the old house used to be. It's a 12-acre site. We don't need 12 acres.
You know, the actual airport boundary is this line right here, which comes down. This is where the new transit is at Four Corners Road. We own this 10 acres right here. It is not physically or legally part of the airport, so we don't have the FAA, you know, restrictions or ask permission or anything. So, and the old, in fact, you still see the old house, but there's a paved entryway. The water tap is still there.
It would be right adjacent to the transit, the new transit barn out there is making public transportation, even dial-a-ride, a possibility for elderly with animals. So it's a very nice spot, but we may be getting ahead of ourselves. So.
Yeah. Anyway,
how about you say 1 acre minimum? Do you need that to be contiguous or?
Yeah, the way a lot of these parks are. In fact, it would be better to have two. Large dogs can tear up a lot of grass if they're out there really running hard. So a lot of the more modern parks actually have two areas. You let the dogs play in one area, you let the grass sort of recover in another area, and swap back and forth. There is a small dog park that Port Townsend maintains. If you've ever been over by Chetsamoka, in the middle of the winter, it's just a mud puddle, and it's because it's just overly subscribed. It really, once you go too far, then no one wants to go to it anymore until it comes back. So, yeah.
The beauty of this site was a horse pasture one time, so it's nice flat level ground. Mm-hmm. We had always talked about possibly developing that at some point. And what we talked about is having a use agreement for a period of time, whether that's 5 years or whatever. Because if we were going to develop it, it would take longer than 5 years for us to develop it. It's a beautiful location right on Highway 20 with a turnoff already. So.
You know, if you go down the list of where you'd like access to water, you would like not to be a lot of neighbors for barking dogs, well, that's not a concern there. You know, it's a very good spot. And like I say, we're also talking to the city and the county, and there's no secrets in this process, but this is certainly a great possibility, and I'd like to bring it to your attention.
I think we all have dogs.
Every one of them. Well, Jim's without a dog until Saturday, right?
Actually, we don't have a dog right now. We're just doing this because there's a need. So, but
give you one of my three.
I do.
Thank you. If you see me zip out, it's just because I'm sitting on the Planning Commission, and normally we meet on Thursdays, but because the concert's on the dock, you can't hear anything in City Hall when the band's playing, so that meeting's tonight, so thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Okay, just to kind of finish up on that, we also talked a little bit further, and that's not really in a dog park, isn't in the ports, you know, bailiwick of stuff to do, so I had a meeting with Kathleen Clear, and indicated that perhaps if we were to pursue something like this, if it worked out to be a good fit, that we could do an interagency agreement where we would then lease to them for a buck, and then they would be able to have it work within their community park type stuff. So anyway, she knows about that. She hasn't had a chance to, you know, talk it over with any of her commissioners yet, but it's something that she was interested in. And so, to me, that seems like it would be also appealing because we wouldn't have any money in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as there is some ability, should a development opportunity come along to create jobs, that they mm-hmm. plan to get to that.
Right.
And somebody's going to have to pay for the fencing, so.
They would pay for that problem.
We wouldn't have anything into it. Mm-hmm.
And like we talked, they would be responsible for mowing the grass.
Clean up.
We just don't have the maintenance people or the manpower to maintain it, so that would be all on
if it gets there.
Yeah. Okay, any other public comments not related to the agenda? Go ahead. Todd, is that right?
Jim.
Jim
Todd, what happened, just lending support to what you've been guiding discussing, and it sounds in particular what you just described out there by the airport. Sounds almost ideal, and it's a perfect opportunity to have various government agencies cooperating. A nice thing to have happen. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, any other public comments? Alrighty then, we'll just dive right into the second reading. Action items, the 2016 vote show.
The last meeting we discussed, the cost of doing the boat show last year, and it's that time of year where they want the deposit next month, August, so we need to make a decision now as to whether we want to have a booth and do it again.
I make a motion we do the fund it and do the booth.
Well, we talked about last time about perhaps trying to do some cost savings. Is there any more thought on that?
Well, yeah, we did a, in the old days, we had two people per shift, and we cut that down to one, and I think that worked okay last year. You know, if you had to go get something to eat or go to the restroom, just left the booth empty for, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it was. And that didn't seem to have any negative impact, so we'd continue that. And, yeah, perhaps we can look at, you know, the overtime is one of the bigger expenses for the staff. You know, if perhaps the commission and management can pull some more shift time, if we don't get paid overtime, you know, it might knock a few dollars off too.
Oh, I did a couple of days last year. I'll do at least that much, if not more.
So you did it with just one person, right? Or were there two?
Just one.
How'd that work?
Good. It was not a problem at all.
Yeah.
I was there by myself, so it's...
Yeah. I did it one day last year, and actually it was pretty interesting. I enjoyed it. And I would have one other person there, but... So in other words, I think that the idea...
What I misunderstood is there was one person along with me, but there, I wasn't there with two other people, so...
Oh, I was wondering if we were running...
Still a staff person.
There was one staff person there when I was there.
But I think...
Maybe if, you know, the commission, you know, any one of you wants to commit, now that you've been there and... seeing what the regime is, then you could become the staff person who would save that amount of money.
So I think the cost savings then that you're referring to is having one staff person instead of two staff people there at all times. Is that correct?
Right.
So that would essentially cut down a large amount.
Well, that's what we did last year.
Oh, that's what we did last year.
But what I'm saying is maybe the five of us could pull more shifts, which would cut it even further. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think... Yeah, I think it's an important thing to do. I think we didn't do it 1 year, and I think it made it. I think that we heard about it, and I think that it was an adverse thing to not go. So I think I'll second Pete's motion. And all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I think we could perhaps look at some other things for cost savings along the way, like I don't know, walking on the ferry or something like that, or. One thing I was actually thinking about doing is I used to always go to those on the bus. Now that makes it kind of hard for pulling the shift, but there was a gal, I can't remember her name in town, that used to ride public transit, and she'd write a little blurb about how public transit got her from X to Y and put it in the paper, and I think it would be useful. I mean, it might be kind of fun actually, because I know I used to spend a lot of time there on a bus.
A lot of times, though, that will add hours onto an employee's shift, and that will increase the overtime hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, I assume that for me.
Oh.
We don't have to give away the haul-outs. I mean, that's a couple thousand dollars to give away mm-hmm. free haul-outs. It is a draw to the booth, but you can eliminate that.
Yeah, it's we have the other show in November, which is just a two-day show that targets the commercial fishing fleet. And I think that's probably where the haul-out will return some investment.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe at the sailboat show, and we don't have to make the decision tonight other than that we're going to do the show. But maybe just, you know, some pre-moorage, you know, a couple of sets of pre-moorage nights, which is a lot less money. So, but we can think that through.
Okay. So going on to second action reading item B, best management practices.
Well, we had talked about you know, what fees we wanted to charge, and also some of the scenarios where we might or might not levy a fee, you know, given the staff some discretion depending on the situation. And Al put this together, and Jim and I tweaked it a little bit, and I'm still wanting to tweak it a little bit more. But I think the scenarios are pretty good that are listed in here. I don't know if you had a chance to read through it or not. Yeah, we're ready to get on with this and get the totes and all the rest of the stuff that we had talked about. One of the things that we still need to do, though, is formally approve the fee structure that we talked about.
Yeah, I didn't see the fee structure in here.
The $100, $500, and $1,000.
Yeah, first, second, third. With, you know, a significant amount of discretion on our part as to whether we levy a fee.
Where are those fees listed?
That was last week.
But they're not in here. I mean, yeah.
I don't have it here, but that's what I recall we had last time.
So it's 100, 500, no, 100, 300, 500?
100, 500, and 1,000.
Okay.
You know, I attended the meeting with Marine Trades both times we discussed it, and they were all very supportive of that schedule.
I'm good with it. I think, you know, if we don't like it, we can change it later, but it's worth getting it underway.
Yeah, let's get it going.
Yeah.
Let's get some miles on it and see if we need to up the little ones or something. Okay, I move that we approve the BMP practice enforcement.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Wow, we're getting some work done today. Okay, so item C, the revised 2016 budget schedule.
Attached is the revisions. They're pretty minor from what we had presented last meeting. Most of them were the times for the second meeting of each month, corrections there. Although we did also confirm the county assessor will be joining us for the workshop session on September 9th, so we have that in there also.
Again, we're looking to have a draft available on our website by the end of September. So.
Is this much different than when we did last year, schedule-wise?
It's almost just the dates, or just, you know, depending on the holidays. And
so this took care of the one conflict we had with the conference or something?
Right.
Okay.
Can we, for the workshop session on the 12th, can we have, like, Abby, what do you anticipate giving us for that in terms of what we're going to look at? Like, are we going to have a list of projects that are coming up next year that, you know, I mean, we're talking about some things that are going to come up that are going to be expenses. So, like, can we say, okay, we're doing good on the revenue side, and then we've got these projects that are going to hit us next year, so we kind of start tossing it around a little bit?
I think we should do that, plus, Brad, you had asked about analysis, kind of like cost center of what the true expenses are, including depreciation and debt service. We're putting that together as we speak, so we'll expect that'll be done.
Okay.
We're sent that on the 12th. But certainly projects that we know we're going to do or have to do in 2016.
Right.
And
our capital facilities program won't be done then. It'll be done in September, so it'll be the next one.
Okay.
And that really, the whole capital facilities plan is really a separate document from
right.
the operating budget. So.
And that's kind of more what I'm thinking about. So then on September 9th, will we see that? The capital of the facility.
We see a first draft of that.
Right.
So that's end of September.
Yeah. One of the things that's always hard this time of year, like we know the PERS, the retirement system, we have to pay more into that to the tune of a little over $20,000. That, in fact, that's already started, effective 1 July. You know, we're still waiting for other, you know, insurance and, you know, medical and all that.
Yeah,
we just keep our ear to the ground. And we tend to get those data points a little bit later.
Yeah, insurance already said that we could plan on 2-3%.
Mm-hmm. So we'll start cranking those things in and give you what those numbers. And you talked to the new assessor, right?
Right, he'll be coming, but he didn't.
In the September one,
September 9th.
So. Yeah, if there's anything else, just shoot us an email or give us a call or stop by and say, you know, how about getting this data for us?
Okay.
If it's available, we'll get it for you.
Okay. Yeah, because it really is the 12th and the 9th, and then we're down the home stretch. In terms of workshops.
Okay, well, does anybody else have any problems with the schedule? I move we approve this current schedule. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We should put this on our website too soon.
Okay, first reading, travel reimbursement resolution.
We do not have a resolution. After when I wrote this, the Senate or the legislature passed the bill that changed the reimbursement for per diem for ports, which somehow had been overlooked many years ago when all the other governments were upped to current rates. So we now have the increased rates, and it takes effect this Friday, the 24th, as a matter of fact. I wrote this, and I went to Eric and said, how about drafting a resolution? And he got into it, and Eric, being Eric, decided we don't need a resolution. That essentially you've already done a resolution adopting my delegation of authority, which gives me the authority to update our personnel policy where the travel rules are laid out. So what I intend to do is update the policy to request the new legislation. And we'll have that done in the next week or two and update the entire booklet. And of course, what this means is next time you travel, you don't need to collect receipts for your meals and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if this then means that that nice little map that we used to have.
Yeah, we'll put a map in there.
Yeah, but is it back to those same, is that map going to be what it was?
Yes.
Because that's what it was taken from, is it right?
Okay. Although in 2014.
It right.
It'll be updated. Yeah. And of course, the mileage is an IRS. Yeah, determined, I think it's 57 cents a mile. Right now,
so. Point five.
So then this first reading isn't really ever going to come back as a second because we don't need a resolution.
It is, right.
Hey, we got more accomplished than I thought tonight. Okay, so potential immediate action items. Stormwater cleaning. That means that we need to do this before next meeting. Is that correct?
We really like to get this done in the dry season. And this is one of those contracts where it's really just maintenance contract. So, went out to bid. We had four excellent bidders. This is the lowest responsible bidder. It's Phoenix Environmental out of Tacoma. I've checked all their references, and I went beyond that. I've called Ecology and Pierce County Public Health, who actually manages their permit. They all have excellent responses. It's a one-year contract with a one-year option that the port has to renew it next year if we need to. And what it is it's cleaning out all of our storm catch basins. We have 80 catch basins in three major vaults. It will be dewatering those. It'll be cleaning out all the sludge and all of the contaminants in the bottom. And so it's quite an involved process. Phoenix Environmental was, their bid was
$28,300.
Yeah, so $28,000 plus tax, so it's going to be about a $30,000 job to do that.
What was the limit to spend, so that's why we're here.
What was the next one?
$57,000.
That was $20,000.
And the difference really is that Phoenix Environmental processes their own waste. The other two use other processing facilities. So that's why the city of Tacoma uses them and the Pierce County Transit use them. So. Anyway, just a short primer, the reason we're doing this is we believe that a lot of our water samples are contaminated by the sludge that's in the vaults. So even though we're doing all the best management practices in the yard, cleaning up the yard, we're polluting our waste or stormwater from 5 years ago because of the sludge in the bottom of our tanks. So we're going to clean them, steam clean them, and get a baseline where everything is, we know, clean, and then we can get more accurate readings on all of our discharge.
So I guess if we're just cleaning out the sludge because of the stuff that's accumulated over the prior time,
You'd think you only have to clean them once, but I see we have first year and second year.
Yeah, in talking to Al, as talked to our engineers, we believe that we'd like the option of monitoring it throughout the year, seeing how much sludge accumulates, and then possibly having to do it next year again. We're a gravel yard and so much of it's silt. You know, we all drive over those catch basins and all of the gravel goes down in there. So a year's worth of gravel is a lot.
So because they've done like Pierce County and what was the other one?
City of Tacoma.
City of Tacoma. So they're used to prevailing wage.
Oh yeah. Okay. This will be a prevailing wage contract. The RFP that went out was pretty extensive as far as what they had to do. And they have to provide us with how they disposed of it. They have to do water testing and pulling the water out, and that water is contaminated water. The city will accept it, but it has to be treated. So they have to treat the water, test the water to city standards before they discharge into the city sewer system. It's a very involved process.
So the RFPO that went out, was, it's my understanding it went out early June, around the 8th or something like that. And I was reviewing on the port's website, and it had a selection criteria that had a matrix of about seven or so items that was included other items other than just low cost. And it mentioned on the website that that was how the contract was going to be chosen and that would be published. But I'm concerned since this has been changed now.
We went through the matrix. So
we went through the matrix.
Okay. Yeah.
The fact that the lowest bidder also had everything else, everybody else was rated a five. We went through the matrix. I actually have it here somewhere, so I was looking for it.
Yes, you, Larry, or who all went through the matrix? Just you?
Just me.
No, I reviewed it after he did it.
I see. Okay. So it wasn't just a matter of lowest cost, it was a matter of your scoring determined that they were the best candidates in consideration of items other than just lowest cost.
Right. But the lowest cost certainly scored them highest on that category.
$30,000.
Well, there are four excellent proposals. I mean,
they're all more than qualified. So
it's right. What they do for a living, so it's hard to disqualify somebody.
Yeah. Okay,
so we need to make a unanimous agreement that we want to do this tonight instead of another time, so I move that we do it tonight.
I'll second it.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Can we talk just a little bit more about it first? Because I just want to emphasize I have strong concerns about this project because our stormwater permit is completely dependent on this project and the level of importance. I just wanted to get that statement out there that it's, I'm okay with the matrix and so on. I just wanted to.
What do you sound like you have something wrong with these guys or what's.
I don't know. I don't have any personal knowledge about these or the other three. I see the scoring totals here are very, very close. And, you probably don't have a copy of this. You just handed this to me, but. They're all within a couple of points on this matrix. And just from past experience with terminal operations, when you have four contractors and you have, this is gonna be a big project. There's about 80 catch basins, I forgot how many vaults, and then a couple of miles of ductile iron pipe and cement pipe that connects all these things. And we've got a lot riding on this project. Because if it isn't done properly, it could end up costing us a lot more in the future. I just want to express my concern in that regard. And in my past experience, when there's been such a tremendous difference in cost estimates, whereas the other three were quite close to each other, and this one here was less than half than the least expensive one, it just sends up alarm bells in my head. That's my only concern. And we all want the same thing. We want to get the darn pipes cleaned out so we can meet our benchmarks for our MPDS permit. And I just want to state that I'm going to go ahead and vote along with you guys that we got to get this going. And we're running. Next thing you know, summer's going to be over. And the other thing to point out is if we end up in the rain event when doing this, then all bets are off because this is all based on volumetric conditions with, you know, with all the constituents in the water that they have to treat. And so if we end up with storm events, then the cost could just escalate, you know, dramatically. So it needs to get done.
I think, you know, having a respondent that's the city of Tacoma and Pierce County, that's a lot bigger than 80 volts, seems to me.
Well, but I don't know what all the details are behind that. But again, is the other three were right real close with each other within $10,000 or even less. And this guy is less than half. I just want to express my concerns. So just hopefully going to come in here and do a knockout job, and we're going to have this behind us. But I just want to express that.
Save $3,000. Hopefully.
Yeah.
No, I hear you.
Okay, yeah, I saw that.
So I'll vote yes.
Okay. All right, so having decided to vote on it tonight, I move then that we approve the contract with Phoenix for the contract for the stormwater system cleaning.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, staff comments.
No, I think the, we're still, Eric and I are still talking to the various people regarding the boatyard and the terms and conditions of that, of the real estate transfer. It's rather complicated, as we talked about last week, and I suspect that.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
The shipyard lease, the transfer of interest between the different parties and the financing that accompanies.
For Townsend Bay?
Townsend, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's going to, Eric's done a great job. Well, everybody, and Jim as well, Larry. It's really up to how those, the other parties and their financial remedies that they seek is a bit complicated. And right now, as I think Larry pointed out last week or 2 weeks ago, you have essentially two different entities. If there's a default or a casualty of some nature, they're both seeking the same remedy, the same collateral, and there's only one collateral. So they're going to have to sort that out among themselves. We informed them of that by a letter this Monday, or I emailed it to them, and I sent them a hard copy as well. So there'll be some response and some further inquiries, I think, before among the lenders and their activity, how they're going to proceed.
Okay, just so I'm clear, the problems that we're having is between the bank having that collateral claim and the Townsend Bay having it. It doesn't really involve the port as the collateral.
So all,
the only thing that it concerns us with is that it's taking longer to come to fruition.
Well, no. Well, what it concerns legally, you're dead on, Steve. That's exactly what it is. We don't really have an interest in how they resolve it.
Right.
But they have to resolve it, because otherwise, if there is a failure, or if there is a default or insurance casualty or some event, we want to make sure that we're not pulled into litigation over it, which we would be in the current situation, I think. If we signed what was given to us previously, it's going to, if there is some legal action, we're going to be a party in it. And it's my intent, and I think Eric's and staff as well, is to keep us out of that. So those parties are going to have to resolve. They're going to have a cleaner deal, in other words, before I think we would recommend that the port execute
it. Normally, these deals, you don't have two parties, you just have the bank. You know, obviously, if the business goes belly up or the bankrupt, the bank, you know.
Claims everything.
They claim everything, and then we know who we're dealing with. In this case, Townsend Bay is laying claim also, so.
Precisely. And then it's further, then to make it one more spin. So let's say there's a fire. They're both claiming the insurance proceeds, okay? So that's typical. I mean, someone's going to claim that. But where we don't want to end up, and what Eric and I both feel, all of us feel rather strongly, is we want some protection for the port that if, say, there was a fire and they take the proceeds, well, what we have then left, what's left on our site, is a smoldering kind of mess that we have to clean up, and we don't at our cost. And what we want, or so our position is they have to make us whole as well if that something like that would happen. In other words,
rebuild the structure to suitable standards, or give us enough of the insurance so that we can either clear the site, right, or we have a rentable, you know, piece of property.
So we can restore the site to its original condition, either restore the improvements or restore the site. But we don't want the port to bear that cost.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sue, why don't you put a copy of Pat's letter? When you read the letter, it's very...
It's a whole lot better than what the complicated stuff I just said. But yeah, it's...
Jim will get it to you.
And we'll keep you posted as how the thing... We haven't really heard much back yet, but it's really among them. They're going to have to come up with a solution among themselves, and then, then we can respond. But right now, the ball's in their court.
Abby?
I don't have anything.
Next week, the three of us are going to go on a tour.
Good.
Wednesday's looking good for me, but maybe you two can work out since I'll be here tomorrow. Work out the day. What we want to do is, since Abby's new, is, you know, all these papers are going across the desk talking about cool scene and the airport and boat ramp this and boat ramp that and Point Hudson this and that, and just take 4 or 5 hours and get in a car and just, here's cool scene, talk some of the issues and some of the history and go to the airport and that sort of thing. So
yeah.
Maybe we'll throw a lunch in or something.
And meet the staff.
Yeah.
And meet the staff.
Sue, maybe?
Yeah. Staff started talking today with the city's position on water rationing. We might want to get to a point where we start looking at how we use water in the port. We use a lot of water in the port. I just this afternoon, Sue made me some signs to put on the boat wash here. We're in a drought situation, so please be conscious about using water. Just trying to remind people to use less and less water. Apparently, we had somebody down in the marina that was washing his boat and just let the hose run in the marina while he was scrubbing. So we just want to remind all of our tenants on that.
We should put a notice in the August building, just remind people conscious of the situation.
So we're monitoring that closely. When we go to the next level, I think staff's recommendation is we're going to shut down a lot of the water we're providing for people.
Including the wash down here for the boat ramp.
So we're not there yet. But.
Does everything have nozzles, like the wash down here?
Well, actually,
why wouldn't we buy nozzles?
Well,
we've gone through quite a few nozzles.
Yeah.
We've gone through quite a few hoses.
I actually supplied brand new nozzles a while ago, and they lasted about 2 weeks before somebody stole the nozzles and the hoses because they were fairly new. The reason that we don't leave nozzles on is because a lot of times you have to hook them onto an adapter, so the nozzle gets unscrewed to go into the flushing device. So that's going to sometimes get lost. I think the nozzles would be good. They're like $3. And that's the kind I supplied to myself, and I think we should probably get a couple more of the plastic ones.
I kind of watched some of the boats this afternoon. Some are slam bam, just 2, 3, 4 minutes. They just wash everything down and they're done. we'll wash the same spot for 5 minutes. It seems like. Well, I don't know.
So what other water were you considering shutting off other than just this one?
Well, we got our big tank truck that we, when the weather's, you know, really sunny and hot, we'll spray the yard several times in a day to try to keep the dust down. And that's quite a bit of gallonage right there. So,
but as far as other water taps around the facility, you're not intending on shutting those off?
No.
Okay.
No, just cautioning everybody. You know, we may put up more signs that saying, you know, please be careful, conserve water, that sort of thing. But it was in the paper today, the city council told Timmins to enact all voluntary measures. The next stage will be involuntary measures, and that's where I think we need to.
I think it's certainly sometimes just from a safety standpoint, because like when Karen Broom's boat caught on fire, and then they came down and put it out, and then everybody left, and then it reignited.
Yeah.
And how it got put out the second time was a bunch of guys running over to the spigot with buckets, like pouring water on it.
Yeah. We'll keep those all turned on. So.
You know, and Marina, we supply our own hoses. Why does the port supply? Why don't people just bring their own hoses for washdown as well?
For the boat washdown?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I supplied hoses myself for many years, but they were got kinked, and we've actually put in some hoses when the thing got put up. And they were here for a really long time. They were nice rubber hoses, and they were here for years and years and years. And somebody stole them, but you know they last a long time if they're taken care of. Them.
These new ones, nice hoses, we bolted them down.
Yeah.
You gotta take those. I will be gone tomorrow and Friday, personal time. My 34th birthday again. Attended a briefing given by Cynthia Weed. We all know her and love her. On our new IDD levy capacity. A couple of handouts. This was a practice briefing. She'll be giving it to the next finance director seminar and to the commission only seminar next year. This document I just handed out lists all the port districts and made short what the numbers are. Everybody has two bites of the apple with the IDD. In red, you'll notice I was surprised how many ports have already used either one or actually both of their IDD, so they can't go back to the trough. But then you notice there's a half a dozen ports where there's a third, and I highlighted on the first page, any port district that borders the Pacific Ocean has a third chance to go to the trough, and we're one of them. Even though we don't have any facilities on the Pacific Ocean, Jefferson County, which we're a countywide district, does go across the peninsula. So we get three chances. This packet is the briefing itself. And I won't go into in depth on this, but essentially, we've talked about it before. This is the property tax increase above and beyond the 1% that you're authorized to take. It is not subject to the Iman initiative of several years ago. The Port Commission has the authority to, for 20 years, each one of these periods is 20 years, to take up to 45 cents. The old law was you either had to take it all or you lost it. The new law, if you know, say the breakwater is, we want that money to pay off the GO bond, so that it doesn't touch any other revenue pots or existing tax. You know, we can work out the numbers and you can take that 8 cents per thousand or whatever that rate number is to cover the debt service on the breakwater project, for instance. And the other interesting thing is if you get into, say, a couple of years into it and you realize you don't need the money anymore because other revenues have come online, you can either stop it or reduce it. And any monies left over, you can't give back to the taxpayers. I forget the name of the law that she quoted, but you can use it to pay down other debt. And so there's a couple of things I wish I'd asked more questions. I'm trying to formulate a few more. Abby and I was talking about the other day. I may send Cynthia another email with three or four more questions just to get it right in my mind. But anyway, a lot of power here that the commission, the Port Commission has. Cities and counties, PUDs don't have this in Port districts. So anyway, read through it. If they have any questions, let me know. And if it's something I can't answer, I'll get back with Cynthia on it. That's all I have.
Okay, public comments. Okay, commissioner comments.
Hi, Ben.
So you've had some staff changes, I see, with the barge and yard crew.
We went, well, Jim and Tammy did the interviews, and TJ is going to be sent down to take over Point Hudson, essentially. He's a great guy. I think he has the ability to grow within the staff and take on more responsibility over the years to come. Because we'll immediately go out for another yard crew member to hire them. That's going to take a few weeks. Well, you know, it's advertised in-house first and then go out in the newspaper. We don't want to leave the yard in alert, so for the next 30 days, and TJ, we already talked to him, will kind of be a face in. Do a little bit of Point Hudson, also help here. He's our number one lift off. So, but yeah.
Okay.
He's going to transition on down.
When last year when we approved to add another yard personnel, it was actually based on the fact that we were potentially going to lose one. And remember that discussion?
Yeah, and he's back, isn't he?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it was. What I'm saying is, it was predicated on that potential, and at least it was a temporary, and we didn't know if it was going to be permanent or not. But that was the reason for it. What I'm getting at, that was the reason for our immediate decision at that point in time, as opposed to, you know, running it through the two-step process and so on. What I'm suggesting, instead of just automatically going and hiring another person here, that shouldn't there should be some sort of evaluation to determine if this is going to be appropriate manning level for the future? Because, again, the whole purpose that we went through all that before was predicated on the fact that we were temporarily losing somebody, perhaps permanently. And so now that's gone away. And so that kind of brings that whole issue back up again is, you know, what's the appropriate manning level? And I'm just asking if perhaps there should be an evaluation to determine if that's the case before you actually go out and hire somebody.
We can certainly do that.
Okay.
And probably, as part of the budget cycle every year, you know, the commission approves the organizational chart, mm-hmm. you know, how many positions in the yard, mortgage, maintenance, et cetera. That probably should be a pretty standard exercise. Whether it's just 1 minute saying everything looks great or, you know, more in-depth analysis.
Well, I would think that Terry's got a good idea. I mean, he's been running with the crew this size now for
Terry's
a while.
Terry's on vacation this week, so
right.
I'll talk to him.
But, I mean, we have had this crew plus one for a while now, so we can certainly say, so we're spinning or are we good?
Be a good exercise.
Happy to do it.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
Okay. Since the last meeting, we had our energy lunch, and you know, I always like to talk about it. And this was actually a really good energy lunch. We had a guy, Brian Young. He's from the governor's Department of Commerce. His specialty is talking about clean energy, and of course, you know, the governor is high on that. And what Department of Commerce does is they are designed to help get jobs going by way of supporting small businesses. And he came in and we had him on a dead run for 2 days, going to an hour meeting here and an hour meeting there and an hour meeting there, and he talked to a lot of people in the port. And we actually, in the port per se, we had him talk to a battery manufacturing company. That's Peter Gearloffs and Chris and Matt, Chris from Brignoli and Matt and Mortensen. And so we had a chance to personally introduce them, get them together for lunch, and they can discuss how they can help each other as far as getting businesses off the ground. I was really excited about that.
anyway, we've also got this fellow that's that we can contact from the port through Commerce, because that's basically Commerce is the way that we ended up getting a $50,000 grant for the biochar. So there are useful people to have on your side. Okay, that's all the comments we have. So our next meeting is a public workshop on Wednesday, August the 12th, 2015 at 1 o'clock. No, the meeting is at not 1 o'clock. The public workshop is 9:30, and the meeting is at 1 o'clock here in the commission building. So we'll now adjourn this and recess this meeting and go into executive session.
For personnel.
For personnel for 15 minutes.
Yeah.